Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
McGeever.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft, and we have a new song for our striker, Ross McGeever. If you were at Cove yesterday, that will be stuck in your head. That is two games down, ladies and gentlemen, and 4 points into the 23-24 season, and there's a lot of talking points from the last 7 days. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your weekly podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Falkirk Bairns. I am John McInally, and as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Pod, the one-man band, main stand, one-man band, that's right, it's Ross Wayne. How are you?
Hey, Chief, how you doing? You all right?
It's been a long day, Ross. It's been a long, long day and a long weekend, but I am fine. I missed the game yesterday. However, you were drinking woo-woos on the way up to Cove on the train from about 9 o'clock.
Definitely not woo-woos. Definitely not woo-woos. I wouldn't mind a woo-woo, but it wasn't a woo-woo. It was a good day, long day, good banter, as always with these things. The only thing missing was that 3 points, but we nearly... Should have been.
If you'd offered me a point when we were recording last week, and especially the way in the manner that point came, I would have bitten your hand off for that. I think it's good. I think it was a really important point to get. You know, if we'd dropped all 3 points, it would have been a bit harder to take. But a point is all right. You were mixing with the Stars as well on your way up to Cove as well, I believe.
Mixing with the Stars.
We not meet up with some darts player.
Oh, yes. Listen, the only reason I'm confused is I had no idea who these two boys were. So we're in the Wellington Hotel, round the corner. Got a story about that as well. About 10, 15 minutes walk for the ground, and a few Bairns fans in. And then Des looks over and he went, oh, there's... He did say his name. I've forgotten already.
Is it Stephen? Like, is Steve Bunton?
Something like that. Yeah, and he was like, "Oh, he's a famous darts player. I need to get my photo." And I was like, "Right, okay." So he went over, and then there was a few other people went and got their photos taken. But yeah, though, I think there must have been some sort of exhibition match or something in Aberdeen last night. So these two darts players, why they were staying there, I've no idea. Because obviously, this hotel is not in Aberdeen; it's on the outskirts. Bit random, if I'm being honest, but. Yeah, so, yeah, the, as I say, not my bag. Didn't know who they were, but fair play to the guys.
The Bullet won the 2014 BDO World Darts Championship and a twice former World Masters champion. There you go.
I did say, listen, in football terms, how big are these guys? And Lewis said one of them was like the Neymar of darts, and I'm like, that doesn't sit right that he's in this Wellington hotel, which is probably not the best.
Well, I mean, to be famous, in comparing football, I don't think darts makes that much money. Well, in fact, saying that, I think, like, I've been saying that, you know, like Gary Anderson and all that sort of stuff, they make a bit of coin, like half a million or whatever for winning the BDO. Yeah. So there's a bit of money in the old Aris, a bit of money, but there you go. So he wasn't going to the game then, no?
No, I don't think he was. But it was good that he was, honestly, like, he wasn't... There was about a dozen people in the pub who were not all Falkirk fans, but there was a dozen people that were desperate to get their photos taken on, so they were quite happy to do that. So
Yeah. And you managed a few cans on the way up then?
Yeah, it was good. There was a few other Bairns on the train as well. I was actually real impressed with the crowd yesterday. I think there was about 400 or 500 up. Certainly, when you looked at the home end, it was pretty sparse. Not that I don't think they're that well supported anyway, but good Bears crowd up. Young team, ultras in the middle of that, stand behind the goals again. They sang for the full game, and we'll talk about it, but absolute scenes in the 96th minute. We have a wee pitch invasion as well, which is always...
come on now! A pitch invasion against Colts!
But listen, see in terms of how they... Like, everything was against us yesterday. The ref was absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
You had some of the Cove players' antics weren't great either, especially the fullback at the dugout side. So it was a bit of relief, and it should have been 3 points because we could have and should have scored 4, 5, 6 goals yesterday.
Yeah. Right. Well, we'll get into the game in just a bit, but it's been quite a good few things happening this week, which we'll talk about in a minute. But first of all, I've got to thank our sponsors, of course, Haldane Construction. Peter from Haldane Construction is actually going to be our guest pundit, looking back at Cove on the show a bit later on. But yeah, Haldane Constructions, you'll know them now. They've been heavily involved with the club. They sponsor the Russell Lappier Legend Stand. You'll see the billboards at the side of the ground. And they are supporting Falkirk Daft throughout the season. We're delighted to have them on board as well. Haldane Construction Services, of course, been delivering construction and building projects throughout the Central Belt for 2 decades now. Domestic extensions, new builds, all the way through to commercial swimming pools and care homes. They've got skills and professional approach to undertake a vast range of projects. So if you are thinking about getting an extension on your house, these are the boys to speak to. Peter's there. He will take care of you. Just say that Falkirk Daft sent you. They're at the heart of everything, because what they do is to the highest possible professional quality and ethical construction standards. They've got awards coming out their ears for their the jobs they do, including a Master Builders Award as well. So if you are looking for some work done around your house, speak to Haldane Construction, because quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. Hit them up, haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them on Insta, Twitter, LinkedIn, on Facebook, or you can email Peter and team over there, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. And all those links are below if you need to get in touch with them. Right, the big thing that's kind of happened over the last week with Falkirk, and I don't know, for FSS members, you've seen the update which was sent out by the FSS at the start of the week. I'm going to read it out to you because I think there's a lot to take from it. Here we go. Following the payment of the money from the fan bank loan to the FSS, this money was passed to the club to purchase 875,000 shares. These shares, when added to those previously purchased by / donated to FSS, takes us to a current total of 1.279 million. The total number of shares issued by the company are 5,197,575. So FSS is the largest shareholder at 24.6% of the total shareholding. Great news.
Yep.
The FSS committee has unanimously agreed that we require to reach 25% plus one share. This 25% plus one is important because it is the number of shares required to veto any special resolutions, thus providing the FSS and the wider fan base with the safeguard associated with our message, which means the FSS needs to obtain a further 37,184 shares to reach this magical figure of 25% plus one. Falkirk Football Club Board of Directors have informed us that there are no more shares available to us. The club has elected to retain approximately 1% of total shares for other potential investors. But the understanding of our aim of reaching over 25%, as a result, FSS needs to find a different mechanism to buy or obtain the additional 37,184 shares. For example, recently, 2,000 shares were anonymously donated by a bear to the FSS. FSS has a number of options available to it to increase shareholding, but the FSS committee would like to canvass members on their thoughts of how we continue to build our shareholding. Please contact us by email, admin@falkirksupporters.org, or attend the plan members meeting on September the 1st at 7 o'clock. Continue reading for details. Yeah. So, on top of that, it then goes to talk about FSS continue to grow. There's been a spurt of new members since we announced the fan bank loan. We now have 720 members, which is great. Which is a great position after 2 years, and we'd like to thank every single one for your continued support and ownership. As you expect, we want to raise more. The club is still estimated to lose around $400,000 a year in our current position, but the FSS provides us that forwards, blah, blah, blah. So that is it. Right. few things that I'm going to take out of this. Now, there's a whole thread on this on Pine Ball, where I'll hold my hands up. My brother's been very vocal on this matter, and I can see why. I can see why. Because reading this statement, it's almost like the money's there from the FSS to buy up that 1% of total shares, which is still sitting there. But my understanding is the club, at this point, the club has said, well, that's it. And I believe something was signed off by the FSS saying that's fine. But without that 25% plus one, we don't have that veto vote. And if the money's there, why are the club just going, right, do you know what? I know you signed that, but they, you know, because the whole point of the FSS and the whole point it was set up, and we've talked about this three-legged stool thing, right? It just seems that the stool's a wee bit wobbly for me at the moment. Because if another board, for example, Ross, previous boards who held back this 1%, it would be seen as a power drive by these people. And everyone would be walking up to that stadium with pitchforks and torches, you know, and calling for heads. Now, the guys, obviously, it's a different era, it's a different board. We all know the guys in there are Falkirk supporters. But this 1%, it's a bit of a stickler for me. It really is a stickler. I don't know. I know the deals, if the FSS have signed something saying, that's fine, you can keep that 1%. But if there's money there and the money is sitting in the FSS, why wouldn't the club accept it? Is it just because they want the people in there want to retain that little element of power? I don't know. But that's the questions that are probably in my head, and I guess a lot of the Falkirk supporters' head as well. Where do you stand on it?
So obviously, like Dave read and an awful lot of the comments that were on, specifically Pine Bovril, weirdly, even though this email was sent to, I assume, 720 people, it's not really being talked about anywhere else. Like, you know, on like the Facebook forums or Twitter, well, X, whatever Twitter's now called. So I've not really seen it talked about other than Pine Bovril. That said, what was interesting, so obviously, like everybody else, read it. At first, my initial thought was, well, do they have someone lined up for the shares? Because the club would never, would never refuse someone like money into the club, right? So in my head, the club have got someone already lined up to buy the remaining shares. But what was interesting from the thread on Pine Bovril was obviously Paul, who we've had on.
Yeah, Pablo.
Oh, before Pablo, yeah. He's on there as well. He had obviously put up some comments and stuff too. I think reading between the lines, and obviously there's a few rumours about it at the game yesterday as well, the club are actively seeking to get the FSS to the 25% plus one share.
Right.
So okay. I think that's the understanding I've got from it. Between everything I've read online, plus the chat at the game yesterday, because there was a bit of murmur about it there too. The information that I've heard is that the club are definitely behind getting the FSS to 25% plus one share. Where I actually think that bit of information whether it was purposeful or not purposeful, was missed out from the FSS statement. Maybe they couldn't say it, if it's true. Maybe they couldn't. So if they could have said it, and they've not said it, then I think a lot of chat has maybe been a bit wasted on it. Because as long as I think for me and everybody else in the FSS, you just want to make sure you're going to get to where we were promised to get to, right? Yeah. So obviously it does mean, you would assume, that there's someone else in the pipeline to buy up the remaining shares that the club have got. Now, if the FSS have signed an agreement back in May with the Fans Bank or June, whenever it was, that all monies are going to go to the club, I'm guessing that the new money that's been promised to these last remaining shares are from someone who's not in the FSS. So it's someone separate, maybe someone looking to join the patrons group, or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a random fan with, what was it, 10, 15 grand's worth of shares, I think, is the equivalent of 37,000. Yeah. It's about 10, 15,000 pounds. So it's new money to the club. So maybe the club are looking at it as, well, we know the FSS money's coming because the FSS have agreed to give us every penny that they raise. And this extra 15 grand is going to then go on maybe straight into John McGlynn's budget, or it's maybe earmarked for a different club project. I don't know. I'm sure the club will come out and tell us, hopefully, one way or the other soon. But I do think as long as the 25%, as long as they get to the 25% plus one share, and everybody seems to be on that page, and the club included, then that's okay with me. That's okay.
Well, as long as they get, listen, as long as they get to that, what I wouldn't want to see, and what, you know, what obviously that statement throws up, is it the club are turning around, you know, and we've seen the emails that have been sent out constantly about how important it is to join the FSS, how important it is to have this three-legged model. We had Kenny and Keith on talking about that. You know, we've read out the statements, we've seen the emails, we've seen everything from the club. Now, if they're suddenly turning around saying, well, the shares are there, but we're not going to give them to you.
Yeah,
that's completely unacceptable. So the club need to come out for me and make a statement about it alongside the FSS as well.
Well, they're all as one. You'd assume they're all as one.
Yeah, because someone's at fault. Well, that's FSS or the club at this point. For you know, we need to get clarification on what's happening with these shares. Now, the FSS, there's no more shares. Once these shares are gone, they're all gone. That 1% is all that's left on the table now, as far as I'm aware, unless there's another share option made available, in which case that throws up a whole different set of questions. But at this point, that's the 1% left there is the only left with, obviously, the influx with from the grant that was given to the FSS.
I think what was alluded to in Pound Bovril and in the email that they sent out is that, obviously, as well as buying shares, the FSS could reach the 25% plus one share by having shares donated. Now,
but how does that happen? I mean, how that's right on, sorry, people passing away and things like that. Because
well, no, John, I don't know if it would be. You're right, it could be that, right? But I think in the what was probably a much more quicker form of it is people with a large shareholding, fans, general public, who are either being, who have read this, or indeed, I think this conversation has not just come out in the last 4 days. I think that there's been things bubbling away. That's the impression I get. I would be very shocked if this conversation has not been going on for since the fan bank money came in. I think there will be plenty of people. See, when you look at the shareholder list as well, it's not as if, like, someone donates 5,000 shares. If they've still got, like 30,000 shares, it's not, well, no, that makes any difference anyway, because if you've got one share or 30,000 shares, you get to go to the AGM. That's it. There's no, you don't get anything else for your money. So I think the FSS will get their percentage. I think by hook or by crook, whether it's the club that's negotiating stuff or whether it's people donating, I think they will 100% get there. The bigger thing for me is the last bit you said, as about the 1st of September. I would urge every single FSS member, if they can, to go to that meeting, because the club are going to be there. We need to tell the club how important is that the fans who continue to pay money in every month have a say in potentially projects or things that the money can be used for. And I'm not saying, obviously, there's a lot being said about how the FSS have already guaranteed the money to the club, right? But the club have also said they will 100% listen to what the fans have got to say in terms of whether it's used for youth academy, whether it's for John McGlynn's budget, whether it's for a pie in the sky East Stand, whatever, right? I think fans need to go to that meeting, though, and make sure the voice is heard, so that whoever's there for the club, I assume it'll be Jamie maybe and some board members, they need to hear the fans' opinions.
Well, the club need to listen. I mean, with the FSS having the percentage that they do have now, the club directly, because if they don't, and we've, again, going back to the three-stool model, it just makes a mockery of that. Absolute mockery of that. You know what I mean? It's like the FSS is the sugary stool that's getting propped up by a bar.
The board, as far as I'm aware, as well, they are all FSS members, so you would assume that they're all... they've all got a vested interest as well. Yeah. Granted, I think either all of the board or some of the board are in the patrons group too. But the FSS, as you've said, have currently got more shareholding than any other group. whether it's the Patrons Group or the ex-MSG as they were known, the FSS now control a huge number of shares within the football club. So I personally, and I know I'm an optimist, I think it will all get sorted out and the FSS will get where they need to be. Hopefully, if there is new shares there and there is someone in the wings willing to buy it. Remember, it's not £1 million worth of shares, it's like 15 grand or something.
Yeah.
Whoever it is.
Go on, Roscoe, you get your hand in your pocket, son.
Listen, if there's anybody putting their hands in the pocket, yeah, you've the one that's getting a swimming pool off Peter, aren't you? So,
but no, I think that there needs to be some communication, hook by hook, by group from the club to let us understand what is actually happening here. Because at the moment, when you're getting the emails, you know, saying how important it is to join the FSS and all that, you know, we're there. We're a ball here away from being where we want to be with the FSS. And from then on, like you say, the money we're donating, and again, it makes a mock of this Forever Falkirk Fund now. But I mean, that just needs to go now because it's done because that's effectively what the FSS is, because we've got all the shares, we've got the, you know, until there's an R share scheme, we've got all the shares we possibly can, unless they go and try and buy shares from other, you know, patrons or whatever. The FSS go, we'll try and buy shares from blah 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 here, there, or everywhere. But you know, at that point, if that's not the case and people aren't willing to share or give up their shares for the FSS, at that point it's just the Forever Falkirk Fund, because that's people putting money in the club. And like you say, it's important that club listen to what is the majority, you know, shareholders now, you know, the biggest shareholders in the club, is which is the supporters, and listen to what the supporters have got to say. So whether that the money from raised by the FSS goes straight into John McGuinn's playing budget, whether it goes into, though the club say, well, we need this done, for example, the floodlight situation we had during the summer, which needed done, and that's where the money went for that. You know, the club come to us and say, well, we'd like to put money into John McGuinn's budget, but this other thing really needs done, you know, but. And then it's a conversation, it's a vote put out to the members of the FSS. But yeah, like you say, it's really important, I think, members of the FSS get down, how many times can we say FSS in one bit, get down on the 1st of September to that meeting and have their say.
Indeed.
We will see what happens. We'll be back here, hopefully. We'll get communication from the club and find out what's happening on next week's show. Right, okay then. Junior Bean's coaching day, Ross.
Yes, I saw that online. Not something my two were able or looking to do. Not everybody wants to play football, do they? They like watching the team, they like supporting the club, but they don't all want to play football. But amazing to see. I think it was like 150 kids were at the stadium last week for one of the coaching days, which they do a couple of times a year. I think it's just really another timely shout out to Sarah, though, and everybody else who looks after the Junior Bairns. It's been going for as long as I remember. I remember being in the Junior Bairns myself as well as I must have been about eight or nine or something like that. And it's always been Sarah. She's the constant. But massive hard work goes on there. The club, unlike previous years, and I don't mean in recent years, but I remember 10, 15 years ago, the club did not have a good relationship with the Junior Bairns set up. And it was a shame because it was nothing to do with Sarah or the Junior Bairns. It was all in the club at the time. So it's great now that the club and the Junior Bairns are properly linked. Open invitation, as always, to Sarah. I've said this to her the last time we met her as well, to come onto the podcast.
That'd be great to have Sarah on, yeah.
Because she knows her football. She knows her football. But also, I can imagine some of the stories she's going to have from her Brockville days and from the new stadium, like as well, because obviously her and Big Croft were involved with the getting us into the stadium, weren't they? So just I can imagine some of the tales. So open invitation, Sarah, come on, you can, you know, you can
anytime. And maybe she can make my dreams come true of finally becoming a Falkirk mascot for the day.
Well, you never know. Listen, I don't want to spoil anything, but there might be some movement there.
Oh, no. Don't get my hopes and dreams up, Ross, to be broken.
The vision I've got is you walking out hand in hand with Big Call, and you've both got a Falkirk Daft captain's armband.
A picture of it. Full kit as well. Like, full kit, and then just sitting. That'd be a beautiful thing. But
and then you need to wear the full kit up the town after the hospitality.
Brilliant. Well, listen, let's get into the game yesterday. There's been too much talk about FSS. There's a go. There's another mention for them. Let's talk about the game yesterday. You went, and we need to do that in the company of a guest pundit. And this week, right, you be on your best behaviour because this is the man that's paying the bills this season, all right? Please welcome to Falkirk Daft, the owner of Haldane Construction. It is Mr. Peter Archibald.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
All good, mate. All good.
Good, mate. Good. Listen, thanks for coming on, Peter. And thanks once again. We had a meeting. I said, do you fancy sponsoring the podcast? And you're like, let me speak to the wife. And we got a thumbs up from the wife, and now you're sponsoring the podcast. So thank you so much.
Yes, and here we are. No, I don't worry at all. It's been good fun so far.
Brilliant. Now, just to clarify, Peter, because we were talking about, you know, the fact that you have built swimming pools in your past, and that led on to the conversation about, is anyone in Falkirk got a swimming pool? Can you clarify it wasn't actually a resident that wanted the swimming pool?
No, so it wasn't in Falkirk. It was actually over in Stirlingshire, prior swimming pool over there, so... Yeah, unfortunately it wasn't in Falkirk, but I'm sure there'll be one at some point.
And you know what, if you want a swimming pool, Peter's the man to sort you out. He's got previous swimming pools. So if you want a swimming pool at the side of your house, Peter's the man to speak to.
Peter, what kind of discount can you offer to the Falkirk Daft listeners if they quote Falkirk Daft for a swimming pool?
For a swimming pool? I'm sure we could work something out.
There
we go.
Okay, there we go. Peter will get you sorted out. Okay. Right, well, Peter, let's get your Falkirk story. I mean, on speaking to you, you've not been a massive Falkirk fan all your days, have you?
No, football wasn't really in my family, I'll be quite honest with you. It wasn't really until my two boys took an interest in football and started going to the mini kickers. With Falkirk, worked the way up through there. My youngest, Roman, he went on to play for one of the community teams for Falkirk. So he's always sort of followed them, and then we've kind of started following them on the back of him going to some of the games. More recently, it's really been last season that we've really started to be going to the pretty much all the home games last season. I think we were at and a few of the away. So. But yeah, really been enjoying it. A few highs and lows last season, I have to say. But yeah.
Well, I mean, you've obviously been enjoying it, Peter. You were the first away day match sponsor when we played Darvel in the Cup. And then obviously putting your money where your mouth is and sponsoring the Russell Latapy section.
Yeah. No, well, I think for business wise, I wanted to. I took over the business just 3 years ago now. And I wanted to get our name out there a little bit more in Falkirk, in the community. And the best place to do that is at Falkirk Football. You know, it's the biggest thing in Falkirk. And it's just fantastic to be part of that and then see our name up there as well. It's great.
Yeah, no, listen, we appreciate that. So I'm going to ask you the question. This is going to be quite recent. What's your first Falkirk game and what's your first Falkirk memory?
God, I don't remember what the first game was, but the first real, probably the best game was the air game.
Yeah.
Was probably the best one. The atmosphere there at the end was just, I hadn't seen that in the stadium before, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That was.
And your favourite Falkirk player?
Favourite Falkirk player? It's a tricky one, I'll be honest with you. There's a couple that's kind of doing it for me now, I'll be honest with you. But probably from last season, probably Hendo, I think, actually. Really liked his sort of development over last season. And this bit as well, to be honest, but I'll probably say Hendo. We picked him as man of the match at the Darvel game.
No, he was back that night as well, wasn't he?
He was exceptional that night.
Yeah.
Remember that, just winning it down in the corner and then setting up the goal was tremendous.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that fantastic heart, love that passion. I love Big Hendo as well. He's top lad. Brilliant. Well, you two were at the game yesterday. I was working, so didn't get up to Cove. Ross was drinking woo-woos on the train on the way up. Peter, you drove the car up, did you?
Yes. Yeah, we took a nice drive up.
Yeah, stop for chips somewhere? Do you have to stop for chips somewhere?
We stopped for chips on the way back, yes.
Marvellous. Yes. It has to be the done thing. Where did you stop for your chips?
We went to, what's it called, the Quay. Which was really nice. So we stopped there, had some chips. Had a look at the beach. It was a bit cold to be walking about in it, but yeah, and then headed back down. So yeah, nice round trip.
Marvellous, marvellous. We just both got up there eventually. Ross met Steve Bunton, the darts player, in on the pub on the way up. Celebrity spotted. But yes, the match itself, Cove 2, Falkirk 2. There was no changes from last week. Oliver McGinn still injured, not making the bench alongside Mackey. But Jordan Allen returned from suspension and was on the bench and proved to be a key part of the game. Ross, what did you make of it?
Yeah, so in terms of setup, I wasn't too shocked that we were going the same. The only change I thought we might make in would have been maybe Aidan Nesbitt coming in for Calvin Miller. But I thought Calvin Miller did really well yesterday before his injury. Hopefully it's not too bad. But yeah, no, I wasn't too surprised with the starting lineup. As I mentioned at the start of the podcast, really big crowd up yesterday, and I think the players got a real sense when they ran out. And I'm going to say this on behalf of everybody, because I missed the first 5 minutes of the game getting in. But yeah, in terms of the crowd, I think they definitely spurred on the team yesterday.
Were you in with the young team? Have you got your silk scarf, Peter?
I haven't got. I was sat next to him at the start, but to move over a little bit, I'll be honest with you. it's maybe just an age thing for me, I don't know. Yeah, they certainly were making a noise and really building an atmosphere, I have to say. I think it did make a difference. And the players will have taken that as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Not a great deal to write home about after the first half, Ross.
No, not really. Very, very few chances, if I'm being honest. I think it was a couple that I think Aggie Man maybe had a bit of a shot. What I did watch the highlights back this morning, and I tell you, one thing they made the first half look better than it actually felt. big call, I remember he had a header and he had a shot into the box, but really, we didn't make the most of the weather. So it was a real strong wind going towards the Cove goal. And I don't think, and I'm sure, I think John McGlynn mentioned it as well, I really don't think we made the most of it. I really don't think we did.
Yeah, I mean, taking shots when you've got the wind behind you and things like that, there's always a chance of some flying in, you know. Second half, come out. Peter, we were mentioning at the start of the show, is Tequila the song in your head for the Ross McKeever song now?
Ross done really well, actually. He was really unlucky with it in the second half. I think he hit the bar, I don't know, two or three times.
At least twice.
Wasn't able to keep his scoring run going, which has been, I mean, like, we all kind of went, we saw Ross, even the guys that we spoke to in the Wasp Nest podcast from Aloha, we got the kind of lowdown, McKeever, and they were like, they weren't that upset to see him going. We were like, all right, okay, brilliant. Aloha even know that board. But it seems to have really hit the ground running, whether it's our style of play suiting him better, because certainly his goals return last season was very poor for Aloha. But, I mean, he seems to be like a proper fan's favourite now, Ross.
I think so. I actually got, I'm sure I got a little bit of stick on social media this week for saying that he was going to hit 30 goals. But
well, I'm not surprised about that.
No, that's true. However, he gets himself into positions, John. And as Peter said, he could have, like, he hit the bar yesterday. He hit the post with another one. There was a shot that hit the side net. And so he genuinely was so close to having a hat-trick yesterday. And so I think that's the reason for my confidence, because he gets himself in really, really good positions. The amount of flick-ons that he's winning in the air as well for Agyeman, more so than Morrison to chase onto. I thought genuinely, I know he never scored, but I thought he was fantastic yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was, we'll get to the equaliser in the last minute, but yeah, that was very important for that. Of course, though, we went 1-0 down. And it was a very bizarre penalty. What did you make of it, Peter?
Yeah, it was hard to tell up at the end. That was what was actually going on, I'll be honest. But I think it turns out it's maybe a handball by Burrow. the side of things. And for some reason, penalty was given to Bove. I don't know what the ref, just a typical ref for us, I think, which didn't seem to help us at all. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that penalty at all, to be honest with you.
At the time, Peter, see at the time, we were standing just to the right of the away dugout, so we had practically the same view that John McGlynn and Paul Smith would have had. And you saw an arm going up, but it was definitely a blue shirt. Mm. It was definitely a blue shirt. And I couldn't have told you who had handled it, because I wasn't as close to it, obviously, but you saw the arm go up. The Lino wasn't giving it. He was pointing away, as in like free kick to, or
yeah, back. That's right. No, he was.
Yeah, and then you thought, oh well, that's fine. He's going to intervene here, and the ref just absolutely waved away the Lino's position, and you just think he was in a worse position than the linesman. I cannot believe it was given as a pen. Genuinely, and now some will argue it was justice because of the incident in the first minute. Now, as I mentioned, I was just ever so late getting in. However, everybody that was sort of standing near us had saw it, and they said that was in. So did the ref have something in his head as in to like even that situation up? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the strange decision if the linesman's saying no and then the ref saying aye, and the linesman's in a better position. But par for the course in terms of referees in this division. So yeah, 1-0 down. But then we seem to get ourselves back into it, Ross.
We did. To be fair, they scored against the run of play. Like, it was, if there was any team looking to win that yesterday, it was genuinely us. I watched Paul Hartley's post-match interview earlier on. I've no idea what game he was watching, genuinely, because they were never on top at any point. Granted, they were in terms of scoreline, but in terms of actually threatening us, they didn't. We've gifted them. Well, we've been given a goal because of the pen, and then obviously Brad Mackay's gifted them a bloody free shot on goal. So, but the tide was definitely with us, John. Honestly, like, McKeever, as I mentioned, had like three brilliant chances. Morrison was looking dangerous. We were all over them. And I was so glad when, even though it was a deflected shot in, Morrison done really well on the right-hand side, and we deserved that equaliser massively.
No surprise Hartley talking shite as ever when you look at the stats for the match. 55% possession to 45%. Shots 13 to 7. Shots on target 7-4, corners 8-3. Talking shite as per Mr. Hartley. Unbelievable.
Yes,
but yeah, we got back in, and then shock horror, you could have put the mortgage on it. Romain Borel scores a goal against us. What do you make of that, Peter? Who was at fault for it?
Yeah, well, obviously Brad Mackay. I don't know what he was doing, if he was trying to pass back to the keeper or what he was doing. He should have probably just put it out, to be honest with you. And yeah, it had to be Borel that would be there. And puts it in the back of the net. so yeah.
What do you make of his celebrations, Ross?
Who, Borel? Actually, I didn't notice how he celebrated, to be honest. Was he giving the players or Bairns fans a bit of stick?
I think he was.
Do you know, I was too busy going absolutely mental at Brad Mackay, if I'm being honest, John. He should never wear a Falkirk shirt again. It was that bad. And I don't mean just in isolation to yesterday, but these series of cock-ups now are costing us every time. They are.
Why did Donaldson come off then?
So Donaldson had a dead leg. Right. So he went off. Our initial thought was he's not going to... we thought you might put Hendo back there because we've got midfield options there. But no, he brought Brad Mackay on. And it might sound dramatic, but I would never have him in the Falkirk shirt again. He's just no good enough. And he's costing us now. Silly, silly mistakes. And what he was thinking for heading it, I'm not even sure, Peter. Was he heading it back? Was he trying to just clear the line? I've no idea, but what annoyed me more as well is the players weren't raging with him. Like, why is the keeper? Why is Big Tom Lang not up at Mackay going, what the hell are you doing? We need that bit of Yogi passion in the centre of the defence, and we need these guys told when they make a mistake, it's unacceptable and you're not going to do it again. That's not happening, and that's one criticism I think I have got of the coaching team and the rest of the team.
You can't shout at people in this day and age, Ross. You know we're living in a woke society. You can't shout at people or they'll cry wolf. Do you know what I mean? But no, but you can't. I mean, I see what you're going with, but in this day and age, does that really help if you start shouting? It depends what kind of player you are. If it's a player that you know the player's going to react to that, and you start shouting, I'm going, for fuck's sake, mate, come on. We can't have that, da da da. If they react, they go on and react, that's fine. But if you're a fragile soul, you can't even just be shouting in his face because he'll be terrible for the rest of the game.
Well, if he's a fragile soul, don't be shite. Just do your job and do it well.
If he's a fragile soul, don't be shite, is the quote from Ross Wayne. If he's a fragile, if you're a fragile soul, just don't be shite. Amazing. Right, okay, so Burrow scores, we're 2-1 down. You could have put the bloody mortgage in it. By this point, I'd go back from work. I was sitting in the pub with another couple of bairns, and I just looked at the screen on Sky Sports and I went, I wish I'd put money on that, because you could have absolutely guaranteed that. Again, just hitting the bar. We had McKeever hitting a header off the post. We had Hendo cross over to McKeever and head off the bar, like you were saying, Peter. Just they didn't seem to go in. But then you guys must have been thinking, were you confident that we'd go on to equalise after we lost the goal, Peter?
I felt it was coming, but you know, time was really running out, yeah, to be honest with you. With so many chances, as you say, McKeever, Alfie as well, with a lot of chances, they just wouldn't go in the back of the net, which was really frustrating. And we were just feeling as though we were running out of time, I think. So yeah, when that equaliser came for Jordan Allen, it was it was like we won the league, I'll be honest. The reaction from up in the stand there with the young team and it was pretty amazing to get that. I think it was at the 90th minute got that.
90+6
official.
That must be going up as one of the latest Falkirk goals that's ever been scored. I wonder if our Stat O'Donnell will be able to tell us that, but I cannot think of a later goal ever scored by Falkirk than 90+6 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was so far at the injury time, to be honest, because like Peter, I thought it was late, but I didn't, because I'm thinking, I'm telling everyone, like, obviously the euphoria of equalising, you're so happy, and I'm saying, like, right, come on, we've still got time to get a winner here, and then he kicked back off and then he blew the whistle. So it was exceptionally late, but just as Peter said, it felt like a big moment, right? So as much as it was so annoying to not get the 3 points, I'm so glad that we got at least the point, because it would have been a travesty had we not. We do need to be winning these games though, and that's the criticism I've still got. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. This is why serious conversations need to be had with players that are not going to be good enough for us. And I know that takes money. I know it takes money, and we've not got the money. But we need to be doing something, because we're never going to win this league if we're giving teams a goal a game or more. It's just not going to happen. And it felt like we have won big games, right? So the Ayr game last year, the Hibs game and the Cup, these were all big games, big moments, and we've won it. But the record that we've got against the supposed better teams in the league, so your Airdrie, Dunfermline, your Cove, Ackies, we need to be winning these games. And that's the frustration I think a lot of people have still got.
See, I don't know if we're winning, not losing these games, I would say. I think, like we said last, I think getting a point away up there is a decent result, if I'm honest with you, right? I think if you go away from home and you don't lose, you draw or you win, That works for me, but you've just got to go on and win those home games and not have any of the stupid slip-ups we had talked about last week. If, you know, against your Celtics, against your Montroses, you just go and you win your home games, and you, when you go away, you just don't lose. That, I mean, that's what won Dunfermline in the league. You know, that is what won it. They were drawing quite, you know, they draw a good few games, but they only lost two games all season.
Yeah.
Not one of them was against us, obviously, either.
Yeah.
So for me, that needs to be what happens. Any thoughts on it, Peter?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was brilliant to come away with a point. To not come away with anything from that would have been really quite disappointing, because we were the better team and deserved to win that. But yeah, going away and getting back with a point, you know, we can't really complain at that, I guess. We just need to really push on now. As you and Ross were saying, we need to get rid of these mistakes, because they've all cost us.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder what the future is at centre half. I mean, obviously, big Tam Lang is our man there, him and Cole together. But you've got Sean Mackey to come back from injury. I guess Hendo can drop in there. But you think Brad Mackay's done, Ross? Yeah.
If it was up to the fans, I don't think he would play again. The trouble is, we do have a small squad. We do have injuries. Mackey's out. I don't think Donaldson's going to be out by the sounds of it. We don't have cover other than him for right back. So he's probably not. But this is what I'm saying. He needs a shake. The players, the management, they need to be. And it's not just him. I'm not. I don't want to keep singling him out, because other people have made mistakes as well. But he's now making constant mistakes, and it's costing us goals in big games. And that was a big game yesterday. And that's where I think the relief came in at the end. As Peter said, we're so just relieved to get something, but giving teams a goal or two goals every game is not going to be good enough to win this league.
Yeah. Glad to see, obviously, Jordan as well getting that goal. You know, love the fact there was a McKeever flick on to Jordan Allen, that big guy, small guy combination, yeah, which I love a bit of that. And Jordan obviously is the Falkirk Daft sponsored goal scorer for this year for the Goal Flashes. So well done.
Finally got one.
I'm glad. I'd like to see him get, I'd like to see Jordan get more of a chance in the team in a run. I'd love to see a run with him and McKeever up front together to see what they could do and if they can form a partnership. Because I think, you know, I don't think that's something, you know, a lot of teams are doing in this league. And, you know, Jordan Allen, as we saw with Clyde, is one of the best finishers in the league. You know, you know, you put a ball at, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you give him half a sniff at goal, he's going to get something on target, you know. So good to see Jordan off. Who was captain once Cole went off, by the way?
It was, he shouted over to Brad. So Brad Spencer took the armband. I thought Brad had another really, really strong game yesterday. He set up he put the crossover for the Jordan Allen winner that McKeever flicked on as well. So really good ball in. But he's got that presence in the midfield, John. Mm-hmm. And I was delighted for him. I did keep an eye on him as well, because Willie handed the captain's armband over to anyone, and he did. He ran over and gave it to a young lad who we then bumped into outside as well.
Brilliant.
So we saw him outside. He was, again, well chuffed. And Ian Sneddon sent us a couple of pictures, which we've shared on the socials already. So just brilliant. And it's, yeah, long may it continue. We want the players. And you saw that, Peter. You would have saw that yesterday as well. There was a proper connection. This connection between the fans and the players is definitely there again. And I think that, again, that was probably what helped the last-minute injury time goal too. The fans were... you notice they've celebrated with the fans almost every goal that we've scored in the last few weeks. They've always made a point of running over the fans and getting involved and stuff, and that's definitely going to help us.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Well, so let's hear what the manager had to say after the game.
John, a bit unfortunate not to take 3 points. I feel we did enough to win the game, but better at least going away with something.
I feel the exact same. I'm frustrated that we didn't get all 3 points. I think we deserved all 3 points. As I thought we were a little bit laboured first half. You know, we had a wind advantage, and I don't think we made enough of that. I mean, the wind doesn't win a football match, but it does influence, you know, the ball, you know, it wasn't really conducive to playing good football in the first half, but our quality wasn't good enough. You know, the wind didn't help, but we didn't help ourselves. We know we could have done a little better, and we could have been a little bit more, you know, I thought it was a little bit laboured at times. I thought we should have to do things quicker, sharper, so we didn't really create an awful lot. You know, I think Collett had a shot in the 31st minute or something. That was a kind of almost about our first attempt, or a half-hearted attempt just before the half-time whistle. So we did much better second half. Immediately from the, almost from the kick-off, you know, Calvin Miller's pulled, forced a save out the goalkeeper. A good move involving Alfie, I think it was, and Ross, ending up with Calvin getting a strike at goal. And I think that set us up for the almost the rest of the half. You know, I think the two wingers caused him all sorts of problems. Callum on the right, Calvin on the left, you know, getting in behind them, getting balls across the face of the goal. And, you know, we lose a goal from a penalty kick, one of these ones, ball comes in at a corner, people are going for their heads, they've got their arms up, and if it's a penalty, you know, what can you do? It happens, you know, a little bit too often, and things go against us, you know, still recovering for the one in the semi-final for the cup, handball, and now, you know, one here today as well. So a bit unlucky to go in behind, or go behind in the game. But Callum does really, really well out on the right here. Puts a good ball in. Then when defenders are going back in, facing their own goal, these are the type of things that happen. Yes, we want a striker to get in there and do it, but sometimes the defender going back in, he's got an attempt to do, and attempt to clear the ball and they go in the back of the net. So at that point, I was really, really happy. The team was playing well. We're creating opportunities. One punt up the park, one mistake, find ourselves behind, you know. Didn't get done by good football, you know. Didn't deal with a long ball over the top. Get caught in two minds. End up making an error, leaving the goal wide open. So poor to lose that goal. You know, we continuously concede, you know, really, really cheap goals. So again, after that, I think we did great. You know, I mean, Ross McKay's had two headers off the bar. You know that away from winning the game 3-2. And there was other opportunities, other chances that we created. So the least we deserved, you know, and we're almost down the roadway with no points, which would have been, you know, very, very harsh on us. The least we deserved was a point from that game. And thankfully enough, the guys kept on going. They showed great character, great team spirit, great mentality to keep going. And we got that point to, you know, to at least keep a little bit of an unbeaten run going. Yeah, the expectation coming up here, it is a difficult place to come, the wind didn't help, but the expectation was for us to get all 3 points. So we just need to take it on the chin and move on.
We're back on McGuinn Watch, and that was one question and 3 minutes 46 for the answer. And the Penguin hands were flapping there. You could tell he was annoyed. That's the Penguin was at. He was ready to take off that time in that interview, I think. In fact, I think he was so pissed off with Brad McKay that he called Ross McKeever Ross McKay at one point. So he must have been going, I'm waiting till I get Penguins. The Penguins go, wait till I get my fucking hands on that Brad McKay when I get back to the changing room. But you could tell he was frustrated, can't you, Ross?
You can. And he gets it. I think we all know John. He gets it. He knows what the club's all about. He knows what the fans demand. He called it out himself. Why do we continually make stupid decisions and stupid mistakes? And it is costing us. And I know we've not got the biggest squad in the world, right? But see, even if say someone has a poor game, there was another couple of defenders on the bench. Granted,
you could have dropped Hendo in and put.
There's other options there. And I just think he needs to take that decision to not play the experienced bloke and even put one of the kids in if he really, really has to, because why are we rewarding poor performance all the time? Give somebody else an opportunity.
Yeah. Having looked at Cove, Peter, do you think there'll be challengers come the end of the season?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. Falkirk was much the better team, although I think in the first 15 minutes, right enough, it was so we might be in a bit of trouble. But I think we'll probably do okay, to be honest with you. We'll probably do okay.
They'll be there or thereabouts, you reckon?
They'll be there or thereabouts, yeah.
Interesting. Right, well, let's have a look what the rest of the supporters are saying to it. Let's kick off with Craig. He says, really happy with the performance for the bar of the first 15 minutes. I knew we were in for a shocker when I heard it was Kirkland officiating. Yeah, it was Steve Kirkland who didn't disappoint. Short corner. Brad Mackay should never play for us again. Last two competitive games he's played, Airdrie stroke Cove, he's set up their ST striker. That's right. What I was trying to work out what ST mean. I would have went for CF, centre forward, but ST striker, will take that in. So that's what Craig's saying.
Yeah. Pamela said, how do we complain about officials? He's either completely incompetent or a downright cheat. Come on, ref, which was it? I saw the handball for the other end of the park and at least three at our end were totally ignored as well. However, great fight, determination shown from the team. Fans were magic. Come on, the Bairns.
Aye, well, on Pamela as well, I believe the Falkirk players started trotting away because they thought it was a free kick to us.
Yeah, everybody did. Honestly, John, I would need to watch it back. I can't even remember Cove players making much of a fuss about it, to be honest. Maybe Burrell did, but I don't recall anybody else, to be honest.
Yeah, mental decision, mental. Craig says it's a good point when you consider the calamities in the game, but we're still conceding far too many goals. I'd have taken a point before the match, but when you look at the balance of play, it should have been all three. They have to win against Albion and Alloa. No excuses. Yep, absolutely.
Yep, no, totally agree. Graham says, incremental improvements each week. The team seems to have more character these days. Still a fair way to go before we can think about winning anything. However, we have at least not lost at Cove, which might be a good result come end of the season. I do understand some folk want or expect more, though.
Yeah, feels like a point gain as opposed to two drop given the circumstances. 10 out of 10 for the effort to get back into it twice, though we played well overall. The obvious weakness is, you know, who and needs to be addressed for all parties. I think we know who we're talking about. Stuart, let us hear that.
I would think so. Ali, straight to the point, we snatched a draw out of the mouth of defeat.
Yeah, Bob says, league winners do this, rescuing points at a bad situation with a stick on that Burrell would score. Maybe Brad had him to score any time on his coupon this week. Refereeing was beyond terrible. Never seen so many fouls given for nothing.
Indeed. However, there was a few not so positive ones as well. So kicking us off was Jamesy. So only started playing at one down. I actually agree with him on that. I think we're really poor until we did that. The Specky Fife, see you next Tuesday. Can F off. Going nowhere under McGlynn. SOS Ian McCall.
That's a bit brutal. I mean, I mean, come on now. Two games in and you're wanting a manager change.
John, I can understand the frustration though, right? It is two games in officially, but I think that opinion's been born from last season, and I keep saying this, we have a hangover from last season for a lot of things, and it's still there a little bit. There's positives and there's enthusiasm, and the fans are on board, I think, but I can understand the scepticism as well.
Yeah. Olaf says, if any of us won the Unimillions and brought Kane and Haaland, he'd play one up front. Falkirk Daft called Williamson the PE teacher. I noticed last week that the guy who drives the bin lorry in my area is a ringer for McGlynn. That's what he is, a bin man. So, Jesus. Right, and finish. Here we go.
Peter, just before we move on, is your sponsorship, could it have got Harry Kane over from...
I don't think we're maybe just a wee smidgen out on that one.
Right, okay.
Never mind Harry Kane,
maybe next season.
Maybe Paul Kane, Peter.
and Fraser, who says, I'll say it every week till it gets mentioned on the podcast. Well, Fraser, we are mentioned it on the podcast. McGlynn has never in his 2 years won an important game, minus Hibs in the Cup. Get McCall in ASAP. Oh,
this is, but I mean, he won the air game. I'll give him two. He's won two. That was the big criticism with Raith Rovers. He didn't win the big games.
Yeah.
And we can't have that. What we just need to do is just, like I say, draw away, don't lose away, win at home. That's all.
John, that's not going to be enough, though.
It might be. It will be. will be. Don't worry, Ross. Everyone's going to take points off each other like they did last season. I think more so this season. Thought I played really well, says Charlie. Can't fault anyone's performance other than Brad, the disaster master, Mackay. The disaster master. Jesus Christ. Cove, Vettel were incredibly meh and very much played like a team that was managed by a greasy rat. That is the words of Charlie and not those of Falkirk Daft. And I have no idea who she's talking about.
Well,
or him.
I do agree, even though it's not our official position, I do agree. And finally, oh, I like that, it's like almost like ITN news, isn't it? And finally, Miss Chandler Bonbon, who's our ex-guest pundit on here. Another week, another dismal performance from the officials. That penalty was so bad. Good point in the end, the better team, but defensive errors won't win the league. Get Hogarth back in goals. Sam Long was too hesitant for me. Miller, Alfie and Spencer standouts, still unbeaten.
Well, that's the positives, and we are unfortunately slipped from our top position of the league, but that draw, like you say, come the end of the season, it might prove a really important point. We'll look back at this game, maybe go, that was really important, that Jordan Allen goal. Two wins for Hamilton and two wins for the Beanos, who we've got next. We'll talk about that game in just a minute. Right, okay, we're going to come to Peter on this. Who's your Falkirk Daft rated player? Peter, who you picked from yesterday?
Rated? I'm going to go... it's going to be Jordan Allen for that equaliser.
Jordan Allen, yeah, just for the equaliser. Ross?
Jordan Allen definitely put himself about when he came on, as did Nesbitt when he came on as well. But I'm going to go with Ross McKeever, as he worked his socks off again. Could have had a hat trick if it wasn't for a wee bit of luck. So I'm going to go Ross McKeever, Mr.
You fancy Ross McKeever, don't you?
Listen, he does. If he puts the ball in the net, that's the main thing.
There you go. Right, so Falkirk Daft rated. Alan, what do you have the crowning moment here, and I want to say Peter, because he is the sponsor of this show, Jordan Allen is the Falkirk Daft rated player, and he's also our sponsored Go Flash.
That's true. Yes.
So Jordan Allen gets Falkirk Daft rated this week. We'll add that down. That's one for Finn, one for Jordan now. Right, okay then, Falkirk Dafty, I think we all know where this is going.
Yeah, there's only one, isn't there? Brad Mackay.
The disaster master, as we're now calling him. Brad, yeah. Mackay. Ross, I take it you're second in that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, there we go. Brad Mackay is Falkirk Dafty of the week. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Peter. It's been great to have you on again. Once again, thank you for the wonderful Haldane Construction. Remember, if you feel free to sell it yourself, Peter, because I'm always talking about Haldane Construction. Feel free to give us the spiel yourself.
You go ahead.
There you go. I will tell you, and maybe you could give us your tagline yourself, Peter, but you know what? Haldane Construction, I would say, means quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. That is what Haldane Construction stand for. And tell us about these awards that you've won, Peter, because what... I keep talking about this Master Builders Award. What's that all about?
Yeah, so there's a Federation of Master Builders, which we are part of. It's a national organisation. We're a member of them. You need to go through various vetting processes to become a member. And they hold awards every 2 years. So they do it regional. So they have an awards up in Scotland. And we won Building Company of the Year for Scotland just a couple of months ago there.
Amazing.
Which was really, really fantastic. We're really blown away with it, myself and all the team. We've actually won it twice in a row, believe it or not, in Scotland now, which is just, unbelievable.
Amazing.
And also... one of our apprentices, we have quite a few apprentices. We've got 5 apprentices at the moment, actually. And one of them won Apprentice of the Year for Scotland as well.
Oh, bro, what's his name? Let's give him a shout-out.
So it's actually my oldest son, Noah.
Oh, amazing!
There we go, brilliant.
Amazing. Well done, Noah. Fantastic. Brilliant. Well done. Brilliant. And remember, if you want 10% off a swimming pool, right... Just quote Falkirk Daft.
Did he commit to 10%?
I don't know.
I don't think I did.
No. If you want 10% off a swimming pool, you're thinking I want a swimming pool in my garden, right? Just quote Falkirk Daft to Peter and he'll sort you out with 10% off a swimming pool. Terms and conditions may apply. Peter, thank you so much for your support and thanks so much again for joining us in Falkirk Daft.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So a bit of a strange big question this week. Ross has decided to form an ultras brigade in the main stand. Yeah, because Ross is desperate. You know, to be fair, he turns up in the Stone Island. He's always looking for a ruck, you know, like Danny Dyer, you know, kicking about there with his Falkirk tattoos, you know, wearing shorts to the game, always looking for a fight with the opposition supporters. So he's looking to start an ultras group in the main stand, and he was wanting a name for said ultras group because we've obviously got the ultras 1876 in the Kevin McAllister stand. So what will the ultras in the main stand be called? Ross.
Just to clarify, I'm definitely not going to be doing this because I think if anyone doesn't know me...
I want the silk scarf. I want you in your silk scarf.
Listen, you have a silk scarf on as well. Now, listen, I think it, for those that don't know me, John describes me nothing like I actually am. So anyway, I think if we need an alternative, though, and I think it is right. Some of the entries were brilliant. So Jamie says the Werther's Originals Ultras.
I like it. Stuart's got Ultras 1876. You see what he's done there like that?
Ultras, I like it. Graham has went personal to me. He says Ross Wayne and the Supremes.
The super memes, he said. The super memes. Why?
Oh,
why?
No. That's my spelling of the thing. It's Supremes.
Oh, is it Supremes? All right. I was like, no worries. Ross Wayne and the Supremes. I see what you're doing with it. Wall goes ultra 96 years old.
I like that. Well done, Will. Jay Penman, the Westfield executive crew. He's going a bit English hooligan firm there. Yeah.
I like that. James is going for born 1876.
Yeah, that's just a few years before us. Dave, nice and simple, the Tutters.
The Tutters is the winner, I think, at the moment. Chris has got Bairn Moan. I see what he's done. He's rather than Bayern Munich, he's went Bairn Moan Ick 1876.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one. And then last but not least, Peter, who's our Portuguese, one of the Portuguese listeners, he said it's the We Hate Fife Originals, which is a play on the Werther's Originals.
It doesn't really work, I'll be honest with you, Peter. That doesn't really work as a pun, but I like the thought that you put into that. So, so when are you forming this Ultras crew anyway, Ross? And what are we doing instead of a bird? Instead of a drum, what are we going to have? Like,
we need something a bit older instead of a drum. We could rustle sweetie papers or something like
that. Rustle sweetie papers, we could do that. Throw prawn sandwiches onto the pitch or that kind of clobber eye.
That's it. Keep the suggestions coming in, I think.
Yep, keep the suggestions coming in and look out for Ross and the main stand ultras behind the dugout causing havoc and looking for rucks across Scotland over this coming season.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So it seems like the next home game is ages away and we won't have a Falkirk Daft next week because we're not a game this weekend. Instead, we are playing Stirling Albion on the 22nd of August at the stadium. That's just been rearranged to that date this week if you missed that. Tuesday night under the floodlights, always like a wee game under the floodlights. I seem to have an amazing memory, and maybe I'm wrong with this, Ross, but we beat Stirling Albion in a midweek game way back when at Brockville, and I believe it was 4-3. And Andy Gray scored a peach, a free kick. Is my memory serving me right?
I think you're right. That would have been, 96 or 97, I think. That would have been the checkerboard strip as well, wouldn't it? I think you're right, actually. Yeah, I think you're right. I've enjoyed the games against Stirling Albion over the years. Obviously, we don't play them that often. There's usually been some high-scoring games. They've started well. They've won their first two games of the season, albeit only by one goal in both games, but they're unbeaten so far. And
well, and you had that, obviously, through the next round of the League Cup as well, had a great run in the League Cup, beating St Johnstone, and the managed to get just desserts with a game against Aberdeen.
Mm. No, they do. It'll be interesting to see how they do against Aberdeen. So obviously, Aberdeen are finding a bit of form now. Do you know, we need to be winning the home games, though, John. It's just what we talked about. Regardless of who we're playing, Hamilton, Cove, Still and Albion, Annan, we need the 3 points every week at home, definitely, and away most of the time. So next Tuesday, we need to destroy their two-game league unbeaten run and bring them back down to earth a bit, because I think Stirling have a proper chip in their shoulder with Falkirk. We tend not to, because we don't see it as a derby or a, well, unless we do, we probably do see it as a derby, but we don't see it as like a grudge derby, and but I think they do, so we need to bring them down a peg or two.
Yeah, no, absolutely, let's get them in their place, and especially at the stadium. I'm just trying to think if there's any Falkirk connections in the Stirling team that you've seen up here?
No, I've not.
Surprisingly, if there is not a Falkirk connection, considering we've signed every single team, every single player, single league over the last few years. But I don't know if there is. I'm just looking down the squad list just now, and I can't see any former Bairns or Falkirk connection here, which is surprising.
That, again, we might need to refer to our resident stat O'Donnell. But that must surely be a record as well for the last couple of years where there's not been a connection in the team. So, as you said, John, shocks that there's not one there. But that's maybe a reason how they've done so well, because they've obviously won League Two last season and they've started this year.
I mean, Darren Young's did a really decent job at East Fife, and he seems to have done a really, really good job at Stirling Albion as well. You know, he's certainly a young coach going somewhere, you know, and remember Darren Young from his days playing as well. But we'll see how we fare. Talking about a resident stat over there, he's weighed in. Donald, thank you very much. Glad to have you back on board for this season. Home stats versus Stirling Albion over the last 20 years. Played 8, won 7, drawn 1, lost 0. There you go. Oh my God, it's all set up for us getting beat now, isn't it? Goals for 23, goals against 9. Statistically, it should be a 3-1 win for the Bairns. Thank you, Stato, / Donald Johnson, for that.
That would be my prediction anyway, to be honest. I was going to go 3-1. I think we'll score a few goals. We obviously seem to be struggling to keep a clean sheet. But then Stirling, they've not scored that many in the last two games. They've won both games, but they've only scored one goal. And in fact, was there one on Saturday? I think it might have been a penalty. So they're obviously not scoring much, but they must be keeping it tight at the back. But I think if we get an early goal, I think we'll go on and score a few there, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously beat Edinburgh, they beat Annan. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go this season. But yeah, it is they think it's a derby. It's a derby. We tried to get actually some, there's no Stirling and Albion podcast, but we reached out to some of the fan base, but we've not heard back from him. We'd love to have spoke to a Stirling Albion supporter. So if you know any Beanos for the next episode when we play Stirling, that'd be great. You can let us know about that. But yeah, I think, again, going back to that, win at home, just win at home. No silly mess ups. 2-0 for the Bairns. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I would take it. Any win will do this season, John. Let's just get through every game, sit 3 points, and as you always say, up the road.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Here we go. We've got a few things to clear up from you guys who have been in touch with us. Last week, I think we said we haven't won a home game for many a year. But thanks very much to Karen, who got in touch with us to remind us that in 2020, we beat Montrose. Yes, we did do that, but that was away. That was away, right? So home game wise, we haven't won any. That was the first home win at the stadium, and the last home game we won the first day of the season was against Inverness at Oakleview.
Well, I remember that day well. That was
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee with an overhead kick of some sort. So yeah,
So there you go. And we were talking last week, Ross, as well. Remind you, Willie Gibson. You had a brief memory of him being subbed at halftime and storming out the stadium. Indeed, you were right. And just to confirm, it was against Raith Rovers that happened.
Hmm. Well, spoiled wee brat just walking out the stadium. Never
so,
mind.
So, yeah, and we spoke to Paddy at the club during the week, and he confirmed that as well. And we lost that game 3-2.
There we go.
So, thanks, everyone that's been in touch to correct us. You can probably correct us on a hell of a lot of things, because I'm pretty sure I've just made up the fact that Andy Gray scored a free kick and a 4-3 win against Stirling Albion, but someone will correct me on that.
We'll check it.
We'll double check that. Also, you've got an amazing story of something that happened with the Falkirk fans in training.
Yeah, now I saw this on social media at the start of last week, and it was talked about yesterday before the game. I was chatting to Derek Travis, big known Falkirk fan as well. He was reminded me of it. There was something we definitely want to shout out. So last weekend, the Falkirk Fit team, the football fans in training, had a match versus a team from the Outer Hebrides called Ness FC. Now, it turns out this was a return game. I think the guys went up there last year, and so they returned the favour. It sounds like it was a usual tie between the two teams until the 8th minute, when unfortunately one of the Falkirk players, Peter Dunn, took ill, and I'm saying that in the most extreme, he took a cardiac arrest on the pitch. Now, thankfully and miraculously, between the Falkirk and the Ness teams, there were trained NHS staff within both teams, and not only did they got them comfortable, they started CPR. Thankfully, they were at the stadium as well, so there's a defibrillator in the tunnel, so they used that. And again, just even more luck on Peter's side, they're only 30 seconds away from the ambulance station round the corner. So all of these things meant Peter is now on the road to recovery. I think he's still in hospital, according to Derek. But we just wanted to give Peter a massive shout out. Listen, everybody's thinking about you. Falkirk fan, Falkirk Fit team member. Brilliant story. Happy ending now. But it sounds like some amazing work was done on the pitch on Peter at the time, between the players, the coaching staff that are there, and obviously the Scottish Ambulance Service as well.
What an amazing story. And I mean, just everything, like you say, just fell into place. You know, two paramedics in our team, a defibrillator, the ambulance close by, like just everything fell into place. So the luck was on with Peter that day. Because I mean, if he'd been playing away from home, or it might have been a whole different story. Unbelievable.
Exactly, I know.
So best wishes to Peter. Definitely. And you know, again, the Falkirk football fans and training team are good lads, been in touch with us show an awful lot, and I'm sure they will be to keep us up to date with our scores throughout the season as well, because we like to keep an eye on them. Mm. They go very quiet when they got beat, by the way, so that's maybe why we haven't heard from them this season so far. Keep in touch, lads, and honestly, get well soon, Peter. So that's it for Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening or watching, wherever you get your podcast or wherever you watch it on YouTube. It's hard to think, like, some people might actually put it on their telly, Ross, and have our big bonces on the telly.
We get tagged in, don't we? We get tagged in pictures where might not like me saying this. I remember Smudger, Stevie Beveridge, once sending me a picture, and he had his tablet at the end of the bath, and he's in the bath at the time watching me and you. And that was just a worrying
That's a bit. Day, I so. Mean, let us know, actually. Get in touch. Let us know, where do you listen to or where do you watch Falkirk Daft? I'd love to get that, and we'll just see if we can tick off a few boxes. If you'd watched it in the bath, though, I'd rather not hear about it. But let us know where you watch or where you listen to Falkirk Daft. It'd be great to hear from you. You can do that at all the usual places. Get us on Twitter, Falkirk Daft, Insta, Falkirk Daft, Facebook, Falkirk Daft. You can email me or Ross as well, John or Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Remember, get our merch as well. There's more offers coming soon. I'll get you details for next week, but you can get that at merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Few orders coming in. I just saw one creeping into the inbox just this very minute. What has someone brought? Someone has bought a order of, let me just check, this is what you need to do, it's really exciting. Someone has just bought themselves a premium hoodie. There you go. Fantastic. Remember, everything we make from the merch goes right back into the club as well, because we didn't want to make the money on the club. We like to put that back in. So please buy our merch, merch.folkertdaft.co.uk. Thanks to Haldane Construction. We've talked about them loads on the show. So thanks to Peter and the guys. Hit them up. Haldaneconstruction.co.uk. All the links are below, as they say in the YouTube world. Anything else to discuss apart from the Discord chat, which all the links to get invited, if you like, say, if you want a forum just Falkirk supporters, want to discuss all things Falkirk, you can do that in our Discord chat. Loads of members in there, lots of chat. I've not actually been on since the game yesterday, so I'm going to go and have a look what the guys are chatting about in there, just to, in reflection to the game. But that's it. Not here next week because we don't have a game. What are you going to do with your spare weekend, Ross?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I'll have something filled with me by the family. But yeah, we'll look forward to the Stirling game. Hopefully that'll be a win and then we can crack on. What's after that? I think it's Alloa and Edinburgh. Two big away games, isn't it? So we want some points on the board before that.
Yeah, we're just also discussing, we'll need to maybe cast a vote on this, Ross, when we go to Edinburgh, what pub we go to. Because Ross, if you don't know, is a stickler. If we go to away ground, I have to go to this pub. He doesn't like change. He doesn't like change, because the last time he wasn't in Edinburgh, he wasn't in, at Partick Thistle, and we didn't go to, what is the name of the pub?
The Woodside.
We didn't go to the Woodside on the way to the game. He was raging. We did go on the way back, however. But then the big discussion, when we go to Edinburgh, it has to be the Artisan, which is the...
Listen, it's a cracking pub. Whenever we played Hibs, we always used to hit up the Artisan as well, and now that Edinburgh's a stone's throw from there as well, it would be rude not to join. We have to
this is you just don't like the change. I'm suggesting the Black Bull. We went to the Black Bull before the last Edinburgh game. Fantastic, great tunes on the jukebox, great bar staff, had the pub to ourselves, wee pool table, marvellous place, sitting, enjoyed it, great beer on tap, brilliant. But we'll see where we go next time. But anyway, that's down the line. We've got big games in front of us, Stirling Albion as we discussed, and then Alloa as well. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. And until that time,
expect unexpected, buddy, as always.